بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Our topic of discussion is the Sunnah method and the correct way of istinja and using the toilet, together with all the adab, manners and etiquettes. Last week there was a meeting among the ulama with regards to various issues, and one strong issue that came up is that we need to save the low pan. That was one of the issues. Because in saving the low pan, then we are saving and protecting and preserving that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of using the toilet in the sunnah manner. Just this weekend, there was an ulama jor in Johannesburg, which we attended. And in that it was mentioned two things that something for us to ponder over. He says, a person that knows a sunnah, person, this is one of our senior ulama, over 90 years old, Mawlana Ibrahim Sahab, person that knows a sunnah, but fails to practice on that sunnah, is tantamount to a very subtle and hidden type of kufr. And this is not his words, not his conclusion. He said, this is what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has written. Why? Because a person is saying, like how the disbeliever said, sami'na, we heard, wa asina, but we disobey, we don't follow. And a believer is supposed to make ita'ah, supposed to be obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I know, but I'm not going to follow. The disbeliever, he knows, the Muslim's God is Allah. The Muslims follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he doesn't follow. He doesn't ascribe to that. So if a Muslim knows the sunnah and is not following the sunnah, so Mawlana is saying it is like he is acting like a disbeliever. Although he's not a non-Muslim. But it's a very serious thing. So in the sunnah of the toilet also, save the low pan, the motto. Why? Because the ulama have mentioned that in a person going and using the toilet in accordance to the sunnah, there is so much of noor that we cannot even imagine. Every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has so much of benefits and noor. Spiritual benefits that a person can't see, a person can't imagine the amount of benefits that is there in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our deen is a very sensitive deen. Every aspect has been taught to us. Allah give us tawfiq that we can fulfill all these aspects of our deen. When we talk about sunnah, now very broadly before we come back onto our topic, when we go to bed just now, shortly we will go to bed. One important sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to go to bed immediately after Isha Salah, without delay. And when a person doesn't follow the sunnah, then the farz of Fajr becomes difficult. Or we can say that the practice of tahajjud becomes extremely difficult now as we're going to the summer months. If a person doesn't observe this, every night he's going to sleep at 11 and 12 o'clock, then he will definitely find it difficult to wake up for the Fajr Salah. Now when he's going to bed, how many sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there are? Like the dusting of the bed, for example. How many of us really pay attention to the sunnah, dusting the bed? And the various different sunnahs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a different set of clothing for going to bed. So if a person loves someone, then every action of his becomes beloved to the lover. Every action of the beloved becomes beloved to the lover. So it is a point of reflection. We're talking about istinja. So every action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in going to the toilet also, there is great reward. We spoke about going, entering with the left foot, exiting with the right foot. And then we said the amount of ghafla and unmindfulness in entering the masjid with the right foot and exiting with the left foot. Because we haven't attached that level of importance. So once again, inshallah, this is a reminder and an effort to make the tajdeed of renewing the sunnats in our lives and reviving the sunnats in our lives. So anyway, we had reached point 14, which says that a person shouldn't waste time in the toilet. We explained that extensively last week about wasting time in the toilet. Here they mentioned that in consideration for those that will perhaps want to use the toilet, especially if it's in a masjid, for example, there's a program, and now you know there's a line there. Even if there's no line, maybe someone will come thereafter and need the toilet. So then we shouldn't waste time in the toilet unnecessarily. Use the toilet to the extent that a person needs to use it, and do not waste time in the toilet unnecessarily. One should relieve oneself in the squatting position, and it is makruh for one to relieve oneself while standing. We also explained that in a bit of detail in the last 2 weeks. Extreme caution should be taken in ensuring that urine does not splash onto one's body. Negligence in this regard results in severe punishment in the qabr. An Abi Huraira radiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam aktharu adhab al-qabr min al-bawl. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said most of the punishment meted out to most people in the grave will be on account of urine. And I mentioned here also the ulama said for the men that even with the left hand to hold the private part and direct it into the toilet bowl, that is required so that it doesn't happen that for some reason a person ends up urinating on part of his body or on himself, on his scrotum or wherever else it might happen. So this should be in our minds when a person is using the toilet. Also urine splashes, we should make sure that it's such a place that we're urinating that it doesn't splash back onto one's body. In the old days they would use clods of sand, and nowadays we use toilet paper, but together with the toilet paper, we don't suffice on the toilet paper. We must use water to wash and to clean ourselves. This is the beauty of Islam, that we find that till today, 21st century, non-Muslims from every part of the world, they have not made it part of their daily nature or life to use water. This is exclusive to Islam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had praised in the Quran al-Majid, فِيهِ رِجَالُ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَرُوا. The people of Quba, they were praised because they used to make istinja with water. Now an amazing hadith is mentioned here also, something to think about. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانَ يَبَعَرُونَ بَعْرًا وَإِنَّكُمْ تَخْلِطُونَ ثَلْطًا فَأَتْمِعُوا الْحِجَارَةَ بِالْمَاءِ. He says, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people, when they used to use the toilet, then their excreta was dry and it was hard. And he says, thereafter the food of the people, I'm just explaining, had changed. And when the nature of their food had changed, then we find that the excreta had changed also. And what happens is, then when the excreta is now soft and the stools are soft, then it tends to mess the body as it exits. So he says, now together with sand, one should cleanse oneself with water to remove all that impurity that comes onto the body. That is something that we can understand. One of the points was spoken about also in that meeting last week, was that children should also be taught how to use the lopan. There are so many children that don't even know how to use the lopan. They said there is a targeted and very, very well thought plan of how to remove certain sunnahs from our lives. We might not notice it in South Africa, and Allah Ta'ala reward our pious predecessors and ulama that emphasize on many things like the topi, for example. Like the lopan toilets, the salam, making salam. So these are basic teachings of Islam, which we find, unfortunately, in many places, many of these teachings is gone out of the window. Kal adam. In Arabic they say, like it's non-existent, like it doesn't mean anything, like it's not important. And eventually you'll find that the Muslims themselves will say, no, it's not important. You know, if you want to do it, you do it. You don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. So Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah Ta'ala save us that these sunnats die off. Man ahya sunnati unda fasadi ummati. That person that enlivens a sunnah at the time of fitna, then he will get the reward of 100 martyrs. So our young children should also be taught how to use the toilet. There was one alim, he says, he makes the children wear double pants in a madrasa. And then he teaches them how you will have to squat and how you will use the toilet, the low pan toilet. And he explains to them the virtues and the benefits of the low pan toilet. Nevertheless, we explained that also in the past weeks. A person should not use his right hand to touch his private parts. For washing, he should use the left hand. This is if a person is able, normal able person, then he must use his left hand to cleanse himself, and the right hand he will just use to pour the water. It's mentioned here that to make istinja with the right hand under normal circumstances, when there's no problem, person is absolutely normal, makruh tahrimi. That means it's close to haram. One of the questions the ulama asked, I like this answer that was given. So the ulama asked in that meeting, is it appropriate for us to teach these things? So the one Mawlana, he replied, he said, you know, in Abu Dawud Sharif, there is a hadith. And in Abu Dawud Sharif, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, who it is recorded lived for over 200 years. So what was his age in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can imagine. And one day he was taunted, and he was told by that kafir, big old man like you must go to this young man, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to teach you how to use the toilet. He was trying to criticize him. And in that hadith, right in the beginning of Abu Dawud Sharif, Kitab al-Tahara, the Book of Purity, Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu was the sahabi that was being taught it. So Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, he didn't take it as a form of criticism. He took it as a thing of pride. And he said, yes, I'm so proud. Let me teach you, let me tell you. Like even today, imagine the non-Muslims are not using water in the toilet. It's not part of their nature to use water. So they won't understand these things. There was a time in the past when they would criticize Muslim boys for circumcision, right? They used to joke with the Muslim boys, oh, you circumcised. But now what they're doing? Now they are promoting it, you see. So nevertheless, he didn't take it as criticism. He said, let me tell you, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what you can use for cleaning yourself, what you can't use for cleaning yourself. I am proud to be a Muslim. Unapologetic. So Mawlana said, this is the answer. When we're teaching our children, then we have to teach them these aspects of deen, because it is there praised in the Quran, it is there in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, it mustn't happen that a time comes, a section of this deen is lost because we never give it to the ummah, or portion of the ummah, or in some countries. I met one person. This person is from Cape Town. And he met me and I introduced myself. He says, you know, one of your family members, many years ago, he says, in Jamaat, he's so proud of this. He said, he taught me how to use the toilet. He taught me how, he's showing me his finger, he said, he told me I must use these fingers also to wash myself in the toilet. How to wash myself? It comes in Nur al-Idah, in a kitab called Nur al-Idah, they even tell you how to wash yourself also. Which fingers to use, the left hand, how to wash yourself, etc. So much of detail. The man was proud, I can still remember, big man, he said, he taught me how to use the toilet. Some years ago, there was a certain brother from a certain country, foreign country. So this brother came out with us in Jamaat. So he didn't want to come out initially, he was crying, etc. Big man started crying. Anyway, we encouraged him to come. After that, he was all smiles. So we asked him a question. We asked him, how did you find this time in the path of Allah? So he said, you know, I didn't know how to use the toilet. Actual words. I didn't know how to use the toilet. I came out in Jamaat and I learned how to use the toilet. So these are aspects of our deen lost in many countries, lost to many people. So we can't let it get lost in our own families. So we should encourage it. Nevertheless, let's continue inshallah, conclude just now. When we're exiting the toilet, then we should exit with the right foot. Thank Allah Ta'ala for allowing the waste to leave your body and for blessing you with good health. And the manner for thanking Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is to recite this dua. And we should recite it being conscious of the meaning. We know there are certain people, I spoke to someone, couldn't pass urine. Why? His prostate gland had swelled, and he needed to go for the operation. So now he says it was like such a feeling, he can't explain that, the feeling of not being able to relieve yourself, to go to the toilet. And he says when the catheter was put in, and when he was able to pass urine, he said, I had such a feeling of comfort that I cannot explain. Now we, 5-6 times a day, we go to the toilet. So when we read the dua, Alhamdulillah, that Alhamdulillah must come out from the depth of our hearts. Allah, I'm not in control of the system. My urinary system, every other system, I'm not in control. You are controlling, you're making it function. How much you must thank Allah Ta'ala, Allah, you're making it work right. Kidneys are functioning, cleansing is happening, drainage is happening, everything is happening. From the blood system to whatever system. And Allah Ta'ala is putting it all in the right avenues and it's coming out also. Alhamdulillah, alladhi adhaba anni al-adha wa afani. All praise is due to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala who has removed from me the impurity and filth that would have been harmful if it had remained in my body and granted me relief and ease. There are other du'as also. This is the famous du'a that we normally read. There's another du'a, we'll just explain the meaning. It means, all praise is due to Allah who has removed from me that which harms me and kept within me that which benefits me. Even that sifting also. We don't even know biochemistry, what is taking place in the body. Digestive system and the processes, what is happening. While being unconscious of it, all these intricate processes are taking place. The liver is doing its function. Kidneys are doing their function. The pancreas is doing its function. And what in our body is doing its function? Alhamdulillah. At that point we can say, Allah, I thank you. What was beneficial was held back. And what was harmful, Allah, you took it out. And then, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah who allowed me to enjoy the taste of the food and retained within me its nourishment and energy and removed from me its harm, the harm of the food after it was transformed into waste. This is a miracle, a factory that Allah Ta'ala had made, how this whole thing works. So we thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala at that point. After relieving oneself, then istibra must take place. One must make sure that the remaining droplets of urine comes out before making wudu. We explained that also last week. A very important point which we will conclude with now. And this point says that do not leave the toilet in a dirty condition. Unfortunately, when Muslims are traveling sometimes at the airport or sometimes even Umrah or Hajj, in a public facility. And how many times you get a complaint? You get a complaint from either the men's section or the ladies' section that the place was left in such a terrible condition. You know, sanitary pads are kept there, babies' nappies are just thrown there. And we have this mentality that someone will pick up after us, not thinking of the inconvenience that we're giving to the next person that needs to come in, how we leave the toilet. So we should be very, very particular about this. One is in our home, but especially in a public facility, because sometimes it happens, person thinks someone will clean up after me. Rather, we should see like how in the past our pious elders, they made it a point, they would go and wash the toilets. By Padre Rahmatullahi, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And someone went to the masjid for some reason. And he sees by Padre Rahmatullahi on his knees, and he's washing and he's cleaning the toilets. So, and our pious predecessors also, many incidents regarding this. So, one should make sure that he flushes the toilet. If there's any remnants of impurity, it doesn't take a lot of difficulty and a lot of effort and time just to fill the jug up and make sure that impurity is washed off the toilet bowl. And if we have messed the toilet seat, if it's a high toilet, then make sure that we wipe that off and we clean it. It must be presentable and someone must be comfortable to use it after us. And if we are using the toilet that is a public toilet or shared with others, then we should make sure that to the best of our ability, we don't leave it in a state that will cause them inconvenience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah.